In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. We are in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 7. And there was like a confrontation between the Lord and the rulers of the Jew in Judea in the Feast of the Tabernacle, where he started to preach his sermon and defending himself because he faced them, "Why do you want to kill me? I had done many good things." So some of them from Jerusalem said, "Is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from. But when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from." So that was the belief of many of the Jews, that no one will know the background of Christ or from where he comes. So Christ will answer this. Then Jesus cried out, as he taught in the temple, saying, "You both know me, and you know where I am from, and I have not come of myself. But he who sent me is true, whom you do not know." So if you speak about your knowledge about my childhood, about my background in Galilee, being the carpenter, being the son of Joseph or Saint Mary, okay, you may know my history as a man, but you do not know me as God. You do not know the background of my divine nature, because he was the true light. So Jesus cried out, as he taught in the temple, saying, "You both know me," both because there were like both parties, the one part, you know, believing in him, and others who are doubting him. "You know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know." So you do not know my father, although you know my family. Because being a man, you should know my family. But being God, you can never know my secrets. "But I know him, for I am from him," about the Father, "and he sent me." So, saying he sent me, meaning that, yes, I am the Messiah. I am the one who sent to save you. So, the Son of God came to save man, and that's the expectation of the prophets all through the books of the Old Testament. "Therefore they sought to take him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come." Although this minute was very critical and people were about to kill him or to put a hand on him, but because the hour was not yet there, so no one could do this. And many of the people believed in him and said, "When the Christ comes, will he do more signs?" Because of the many signs they saw. So definitely, if Christ is coming, he will never do much more signs than this one. "Than this which this man has done." So they were taking this logic that he had done many signs. He proved himself as the Messiah. He made all good signs, all good miracles. He defended himself. He was always righteous. He never did any bad thing to anyone. So he is the Messiah. The Pharisee heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning him. And the Pharisee and the chief priests sent officers to take him. So because of the crowd, of the many followers, because many people started to point at him as the Messiah, the heads of the temple, the chief priest, the Pharisee, sent the officers of the temple to take him. Then Jesus said to them, "I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me." So I'm staying just very short time, because I have to go back. And he is again telling them, "I'm not from this earth. I came from heaven. I should go back to heaven. I came for a mission, and the mission is about to be accomplished. So I have to go back to heaven. You will seek me and not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. He's speaking about ascension. When he will go to heaven, no one can, you know, go after him. So he's telling them, yes, now it's your time to take me even to the prison or to be killed. But, you know, my mission is about to be fulfilled. And you will never, you know, follow me everywhere. You cannot. Then the Jews said among themselves, where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? They thought in their way that he will maybe may hide here or there not to be caught. But he was not saying about this, he was speaking about heaven. So they thought that he will run away. Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks, because they cannot follow him to the Greek empire, and maybe because he looks like a big philosopher, he can teach the philosophers of the Greek people. So their mind went astray. What did they think that he said, you will seek me and not find me, and where I am you cannot come? So they couldn't understand the meaning, because again, they never relate his teaching to heaven. They always relate whatever he's saying to the earth. So they couldn't follow him in many things, and they couldn't accept many of the truth revealed. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. So again, it was the Feast of the Tabernacle. It's like a yearly autumn feast of 8 days, 7 days celebrating the history of their fathers in Sinai. And the eighth day was the biggest day. And on this last day, the eighth day, Christ cried out in a new sermon. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Again, he's speaking about the living water. Remember, he spoke much about the living water with the Samaritan in chapter 4. On this day, the last day of the tabernacle feast, there were like a rite, a ritual of the Jews. The heads of the temple used to take water from the water of Siloam. It was very close to the temple. And they walked in a celebration with the shouts of the people, with psalms and some of the verses of Isaiah about the water and how the water will save the people, will redeem the people. So they made many sentences related to the living water and the holy water. But being with the Jewish mind, they couldn't understand the meaning, because they used to do the ritual with no understanding. So he stood at that day crying out, saying, I am the living water, I'm the source of the water. If you are thirsty, come and drink. Because Isaiah kept saying, for the thirsty people, come to take the living water from the source of water. Jeremiah spoke about the source of the living water. So all the prophets spoke about the Messiah, the source of the living water, the source of life, the only source of the new life. So he made it this day with the sermon on chapter 7. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, because the scriptures in Isaiah and in David's Psalms and in Jeremiah and many other prophets said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So the believers will have this living water, and the water will flow out like rivers. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So our Apostle John the Evangelist explained what was said by the Lord, because the living water stands for the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be given to the believers of the new covenant. And the believers having the Holy Spirit, they have to have this Spirit after redemption. So after the days of the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension, the living Spirit, the Holy Spirit will be poured to the believers upon the heads of all the church. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, "Truly, this is the prophet." Because in their Jewish tradition, the one who will say, "I am the real prophet, I am the Messiah," he have to give them the water. Because they knew the scriptures, they kept in their hearts for many years these songs of the scriptures saying, "We will get the water from the source of the water, who will come from heaven to us. God will send us this Messiah to give us the new life, the source of water." So these meanings were there in their minds. So they said, when they heard this saying, said, "Truly this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." Christ is the prophet in their background. But some said, "Will the Christ come out of Galilee?" That was a problem for many of them, because they used to look down to these Galilee people. They never respected the Galilee farmers and the Galilee fishermen. So the Galilee people were not as strong as the Jew of Judea, the religious people. So it wasn't easy for them to accept that the Messiah, the real prophet, the great prophet like Moses in their mind, will come from the Galilee. Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem? That's an important point, because they did not know that Christ Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They all knew that he lived in Galilee. Bethlehem was very close to Jerusalem. So originally, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, because he was, yes, the seed of David, the son of David. And you remember the story of his birth. The family of Joseph had to move to Bethlehem in order, because they related to the family of David. And at that time, Saint Mary was pregnant, and it was the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was born in Bethlehem according to the prophets. But most of the people did not know this, because he traveled to Egypt for like 3 years and then went back and lived in Galilee. And so most of the people did not know the story of his birth. Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David? This, you know, proved that these people understood the prophets. The prophecies related to Christ, the Messiah, he should be the seed of David. He should be born according to Micah in Bethlehem. So there was a division among the people because of him. Most of the people believed in him as the Messiah, the prophet according to the knowledge of the Jew. But some couldn't believe in him because of the birth background, because he had to be the seed of David and in Bethlehem. Now, some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him, because there were many people loving him, following him. They couldn't just put their hands on him, so they postponed the plan. Then the officers came to the chief priest and Pharisee, who said to them, "Why have you not brought him?" So they sent the officers to take him, to bring him to be judged by the chief priests and the rulers. The officers answered, "No man ever spoke like this man." So even the officers, being part of the Jew background, they looked up to him. And they could see that this man is definitely pure. And he revealed the secrets of the prophecies. And he made himself as the Messiah, speaking about, you know, the expected day of the gift of the living water. So no one could speak this. Then the Pharisee answered them, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisee believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed." So they were very angry because the officers went back with no Christ and they couldn't take him, bring him to them. And also they believed that many of the big heads, the rulers, may believe in him. So they considered that all these people are just breaking the law and they are accursed. This crowd that does not know the law, as if they know the law, because they wanted the law by themselves, is accursed. Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, so Nicodemus was there in the sitting of the rulers and chief priests. So he listened to the words of accusation against Christ and against even the whole crowd. So Nicodemus, the one who visited Christ in chapter 3, said to them, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he's doing?" As if he's saying, "What are you saying? You have nothing against this man. Our law, you know, have to respect the will of man, and even if we accuse him, he has to defend himself. We give him no chance to defend himself by all means." So he started to defend Christ. "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he's doing?" So Nicodemus wanted them not to kill him, but just to make respectful judgment and respectful court for him in order to let him speak about himself and defend himself. They answered and said to him, "Are you also from Galilee?" So it was like an insult to Nicodemus because they disrespected every Galilee man. They answered and said to him, "Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet had arisen out of Galilee." That was not right, because some of the prophets were from the Galilee part, by the way. But because they disrespect Galilee people, and they, you know, accused them of being breakers of the law and not religious people, so they couldn't accept that the Messiah could be a Galilee man. And they ignored all the signs and the miracles happened, and they ignored the pure life of the Lord, and they focused on the Sabbath day, they focused on the accusations given by them against him. So they accused Nicodemus of being like following Christ, and everyone went to his own house. So after this day, you know, they couldn't put hands upon him, they couldn't take him to the jail, but they were very angry and they started to plan how to get rid of him. Glory to God. Amen.